Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Teich. New Census Bureau estimates came out for both Wisconsin and the nation last week with numbers on 2017 poverty rates, median income levels, and health insurance coverage.
11.3% of Wisconsin's population is estimated to be below the poverty line. That's a full percentage point lower than the national average.
To get an understanding of what those numbers mean locally, WUWM's Mayon Silver spoke with UWM Professor David Pate, who studies race and poverty.
He starts by describing the city of Milwaukee's poverty rate.
Milwaukee is currently, based on 2016 data, 28.4%. The data that's done for the city is slightly different based on it may be in two-year increments, but right now we're at 28.4%. So we're pretty much almost double what the national rate is, and for the state rate we're almost we're close to being a little, not a third, not three times the rate, but pretty close to being double, a little over the double, a little more than double.
And what do those numbers mean? I mean, it's a time of state economic expansion and low unemployment rates. What does that mean when we see these poverty rates in Milwaukee?
Well, it's interesting. Well, you know, for Milwaukee has been going through a lot of change since the 70s, the 80s, when a lot of manufacturing companies left. Therefore, we have not had the same possibilities for people to have access to jobs that will require only a high school degree. Therefore, those who may stop at high school and not go into college or get some college are now trying to get jobs that are slightly different than their parents may have gotten and allow them and allow for Wisconsin and Milwaukee in particular to be more of a middle class and thriving city.
Well, so when it seems like the economy is doing well, why are the poverty rates not really moving in Milwaukee?
Well, that's a very complex and complicated question to be answered in the short time that we have together, because of the fact that historically there has been some differences by race and gender across for many people. For by race, primarily a black labor force is dependent on the manufacturing companies. That was a major means of economic mobility. Those companies are no longer there. And for women who historically have always had a lower income threshold due to what jobs were available to women to be employed for, those jobs are not paying the wages that will allow families to move into a space of being upwardly mobile, because wages are generally more of poverty type wages. So we need to really look at how have wages changed over time, but also what companies are available that provide access to families to be able to take care of themselves in a way that they may have been doing in the past.
So to sum it up, the poverty rate in Wisconsin hasn't really changed much since the year before. Is that what you said?
That's correct. The poverty rate has gotten poverty has been reduced. I mean, in terms of how we define poverty in our country based on solely cash income, more people are working in Wisconsin. We have what we would call a full employment in Wisconsin if you look at it as a state. So we're doing extremely well if you look at Wisconsin as a state. It's when you start getting into the weeds and that you look at it by race and gender and location that you're going to see pockets of where people are extremely poor. But as a state, we're doing extremely well.
And what can the state do or do better to address the poverty in the categories that you're speaking of?
Well, you know, particularly for low-income black families, one of the biggest issues is, unfortunately, we have very high rates of mass incarceration. So, unfortunately, anyone with a criminal record oftentimes may be denied access to employment. So we need to figure out ways to allow employers to not hold that against people as a way of that not being as a way of holding back employment opportunities. We need to increase the minimum wage that we currently have in place so that people are able to have a living wage and that they're able to take care of themselves. Also, that we need to address how do you handle when someone has a sickness or an illness in the family, so that when someone has to leave their job to take care of someone, that we enforce the Family Medical Leave Act, but also we attend to ways that people are able to leave their jobs in times of emergency, but not hold that be held against them that their jobs are not going to be gone. So there's a number of things that every state can do, because a lot of that is state policy, But again, it's a matter of the ideology of who is in control or who's in government at the time and wants to figure out ways to help families.
Do you know the numbers for race in terms of Wisconsin poverty numbers?
Well, you know, it depends on the neighborhood, and there's been some really good work done by some of my colleagues at UWM where they have looked at various pockets of the north side of Milwaukee where they have seen that the poverty rate can be as high as 65% for low-income, for African-American males, for example, where it can be as, or it can be as low as, but low, being low is still not, it's still very high, being around 35%. So colleagues of mine who do more economic analysis are able to look at those numbers and make those kinds of estimates. But I know in my own work as a qualitative researcher, I often see a lot of despair and a lot of poverty in very poor communities, particularly on the north and south sides of Milwaukee.
How do the median income and health insurance coverage numbers look for Wisconsin in 2017?
Well, Wisconsin has always historically had a very good median income in terms of right now our median income is $59,300 according to the latest statistics. And neighboring states are even higher than Wisconsin, but Wisconsin has always been a really healthy state and always above whatever the median income has been nationally. Unfortunately for Milwaukee, the median income is much lower, particularly for blacks, it's like $40,000, which is historically been the number that you will see across the board for what the income has been. And for whatever historical reasons there are for that, which has been lack of access to better jobs, lack of maybe poor education, not having a social network that will allow you to get a better job based on who you know and how you and what skills you have to offer. Those are real issues that we have to figure out. How do you increase people's networks so they know whom to talk to about a job, how to get a job, how to maintain a job? And there's a number of people who are working on that as well and trying to reduce those inequities within the city, but also within the country.
Now, what would you say to politicians who say that the war on poverty is largely over and a success?
You know, the war on poverty, when it was instituted in the 60s under President Johnson, you can say in many ways it was successful. It raised income for the elderly. It provided access to health care for the elderly. It provided them with which was better access to other services. So therefore, we can look historically at whom was able to profit and do better from the war on poverty. However, we have to also admit there is a significant group of people who are still very poor. And whether we judge them being poor by saying they're lazy or they're not productive, that's one way you could go. However, we do have a group, we do have people in this country who are working very, very hard. And even the most recent Time magazine article talks about people who have college degrees, and these statistics that came out last week even highlight this. The one group that has done the worst around the reduction of poverty and poverty has increased for is those with a bachelor's degree. So there's something going on about with our society and how we're providing access to those who we say is doing what we call the right thing. They still are having some challenges with being able to take care of themselves and not get into a space of being impoverished. So I do think that we have to figure out why is that going on and not just look at the numbers, but figure out, but answer the question why.
People with bachelor's degrees are having a hard time, are falling under the poverty line?
Mm-hmm. They were the one group that had the one of the highest numbers of poverty this year. I mean, I think it's important for people to know that when we look at the definition of poverty, we're looking at people's income before taxes. It doesn't include non-cash benefits or capital gains. We're simply looking at what does someone earn before taxes. The idea of the poverty line is for us to understand that when we look at someone who's impoverished in our country, we're saying a single adult who makes $12,752 without children, if they make 1 cent above that, they're not in poverty in our country. And it's time for us to reevaluate how we define poverty.
So what would your assessment be, your final assessment on the Wisconsin poverty rate in these past 2 years?
I mean, I think Wisconsin is a very healthy, great state to live in if you have access to the services that are available. By race, it's not a great, the picture is not as beautiful because there is some very stark and unfortunate poverty in the city of Milwaukee that needs to be attended to, and but also many of the families there need access to services that will allow them the dignity of being a citizen in America. Many of them are struggling with day-to-day existence. They don't have access to the same jobs that their counterparts do. Oftentimes in research that I have conducted with men in Milwaukee, when they would try to get a job outside of the city, they were often exposed to the phenomena of driving while black, being stopped repeatedly. Or the other problem is that there's not a really good transportation infrastructure for you to get to and from work if you don't have a car. So I think Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, some of those, you know, cities where we have a higher population of black and brown people, we need to figure out ways to provide access to them because their resources are limited. They don't have some of the same historical resources that their counterparts have in order for them to be able to maintain their family in the same way that they desire and wish to. So transportation needs to be increased, better access to housing, more training, and also more opportunities for those who have been returning from our correctional facilities in ways that will allow them to take care of their families as well.
Well, David Pate, thank you so much for speaking about this.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
David Pate is Associate Professor of Social Work at UW-Milwaukee's Helen Bader School of Social Welfare. He spoke with WUWM's Mayon Silver.